Hi, this is Scarlett from Scarlettopia.com, and you're listening to Made a Fail.
I'm done with the new music.
Hip hoppy wop hop.
Made a Fail.
We were unpopular before it was cool.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist. It makes sense now.
Yeah, it's all falling into place. Of course, that place is nowhere near this place.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome yet again to Made of Fail. I'm Kevin.
I'm Dana. I'm back. Hello.
And we've got a very nice episode for you tonight.
Oh, yes, we do. We have a wonderful guest for you tonight, making her podcast debut. Please give a warm welcome to the incomparably lovely Lady Scarlett.
Thank you, thank you. Lovely to be here with you guys.
How are you doing?
Great, how are you guys doing?
I think I'm in love.
Keep it in your pants, Dana.
What, Kev?
Moving right along.
What'd you say, Kev? I didn't hear you.
She was enraptured.
Yeah, I'm not listening to you, buddy. I'm not listening to you all night. How with you?
So, hey, we have an episode going.
Yes. But let's go over what my dear Mistress Scar. I'm so flustered right now.
Oh, so cute.
You are mostly known as the web mistress for the Spoonie Experiment.
Yes.
And also you run Geek Gems. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, right now it's kind of on permanent hiatus, but that's just a blog of mine where I kind of go and seek out interesting geeky accessories, t-shirts, tchotchkes, just items that people kind of in the geeky nerdy community would find are cool and interesting. And yeah, I do that on the side, but primarily my main focus right now is running the Spoonie Experiment and now Wrestle, the spinoff site. So Keeps me busy, keeps me out of trouble mostly.
Mostly. How'd you get into to web design as your thing?
Oh boy, I first got online back in 98, I guess, and I just got into my head that I really wanted a website, and so I had one of those god-awful Angel Fire GeoCities
like
embedded MIDIs and the flashy background in 15 different fonts. And
you know, everyone hated those, but when they they finally shut that down, everybody missed it. It's one of those things.
I know.
It was iconic of the internet of the time.
It so was. It was very nostalgic.
It was like the Civil War. Nobody wanted it when it was there, but everyone loves talking about it.
Jeez, Kevin. I'm going to talk. I had a Zoom.com website.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So nice to talk to people who remember those days of the internet, you know, way back.
Because of old.
Mac in 2002. Rocky, rocky, rocky.
Oh, good times.
Way back in the good old days of 1994.
I think we have fans who were born then.
I know.
That's so sad.
My sister was born in 1994. Yeah. I feel old.
Oh my god, I know it. My oldest niece turning 18 years old in January.
You know, my sister did not know. My sister did not know who sang Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh.
She's like, she had no idea who that was. Oh, to be fair, Nirvana did not exist the entire time she was alive, so you gotta give her a little bit of credit there. So
people who don't remember grunge rock need to die.
I still remember, like...
Thank you.
I still remember, like, I was 16 years old. I would sit in my room every day after school, and I would play the entirety of Live Through This on guitar.
Nice.
Yeah.
In our flannels and,
Oh, God. I was wearing flannel until, like, 1999. So embarrassing. No, I was so uncool. I was so uncool. I would wear, like, flannel and ripped jeans. Like, I was trying to be Kurt Cobain. Unfortunately, it was a girl.
Oh, bring flannel back. Flannel back.
No, it's too hot.
Yeah, where we respectively live, I think so.
Yeah.
You could rock that style, though.
It's so much more fun being naked.
I agree. Let's get naked together.
Too late.
Anyway.
So, Kevin, how are you doing?
Currently disowning this entire podcast. How about you?
You are not. Man, Scarlett, you don't need a podcast. You need a 900 number.
How do you know I don't already have one?
Because you didn't give it to me.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's because you get freebie calls. You don't have to pay, darling.
Kevin, oh, take it to another show. Take it to another show.
No! This will be the most downloaded episode ever.
Well, we're going to record a Too Hot for Live Journal version later, right?
Oh, we should. We should.
Yeah.
That won't be like a 99-cent thing in iTunes. That'll be $2.99 a minute.
Yeah, I like the way you think.
I like the way I think, too. Let's make out.
So now that we've all become media whores, how's the rest of the month been for you guys?
I moved. I have a house now. We sort of stumbled into a free house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned that on the last episode when you were off that Tessa and Adam and I were talking about how the house kind of ate you.
It really did.
Oh, no. What happened?
My husband's father died in October of 2008, and he left the house to Carl, my husband, but my husband's stepmom was still living here, so she was just sort of living here until she either died or left, and she left and left us the house and everything inside of it as it was. I don't think I can really discuss it too much on the air because there's legal ramifications, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But
most of it's on LiveJournal anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty much getting taken care of and stuff. And yeah.
So now you know the wonderful world of home ownership, where every single cent that you make goes right into it.
Let the bears pay the bear tax. I pay the homer tax.
That's the homeowner tax.
Well, anyway, I'm still outraged.
I'm having fun painting. It's so weird.
Oh, that would be fun.
This is why you need to get out of the house more, Dana.
Oh.
She's a handy woman. Leave her alone.
It's fun, Huck. What are you talking about? Why wash this fence for me? Anyway, yeah, but it's been fun. You know, I just sort of sit around and spend Carl's money and play D&D. And actually, my D&D group has sort of indirectly inspired the theme for this episode because a bunch of them have sort of been, well, they've been taken with me, as you do.
Ooh, can't blame
and
them.
They tend to, would you stop doing that? You just scared the shit out of me.
And so they, sorry.
Kevin, will you get me a bunk for Christmas so I can go be in it?
Good night, everybody.
Hate you. You don't love me anymore, Kevin.
Oh, you've got a husband for that.
For it.
So a lot of guys have been talking to me, sort of sharing their life stories or whatever, and talking to me about their problems. And a lot of them sort of center around, you know, being shy and not having any confidence and that sort of thing. And I thought to myself, you know, this is a real serious problem among geekdom, is lack of self-confidence and not getting stuff done. Kevin, turn off your phone.
Oh, you were saying that self-esteem, low self-esteem is a big problem in geekdom.
So we haven't really discussed this yet. And I figured since we were going to be talking to you, I invited you on because of that post that you did on your blog, on scarletopia.com, which we've linked to in the show notes. You were talking about inspiration and sort of letting that percolate and just sort of getting off your ass and doing things.
Yeah.
And confidence is a really huge part of that. And you are very well known for your high level of confidence, if you will. Or at least that's how
you... Is that what they're calling it these days?
Her confidence, if you know what I mean.
Wink, wink.
Say no more.
Yeah.
So I thought you could probably shed some light on what it really means to, you know, to be a geek, but to sort of own that and to not really let that hold you back. Because I know you've said you've talked to other people on the Spoonie Experiment forums about that. And so if you could sort of share a little bit of your wisdom, I'm sure everybody's hanging on your every syllable.
I know you are. No, there was actually a thread on the Spoonie Experiment forums, which if anyone's listening and you're a Spoonie fan, be sure to join up because there's a lot of really cool people in that community. But there was a thread, about a year ago, and it was basically like a dating advice thread for guys. And me and a couple of the other women who frequent the forums, we were just kind of giving advice and trying to be cheerleaders almost in a sense.
Are you wearing the uniform?
Yeah, I'm shaking my pom-poms, baby. But yeah, it's a big issue. A lot of geeky, nerdy, gamer kind of guys, they kind of just don't have the self-esteem or self-confidence or even the self-respect to think that they can, you know, land a girl or land the job they want or whatever the case may be. And it's kind of sad to see that because they have all these amazing qualities, but they just kind of don't have the confidence to let them out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's trying to kind of bolster people's spirits and give them some, you know, a boost of confidence to some degree. But it's hard. I mean, you can't just say to somebody, oh, you're great, feel better.
Get confident, stupid.
Yeah, it's I get that a whole lot. Sorry, I was just turning my phone off.
Yes, Dana.
Shut up. See, I get that a lot. One of my friend Brian, was sort of telling me, now you make sure you tell everybody how freaking insecure you are, and maybe it'll make them feel better about themselves.
Oh, I can do one better.
For some weird reason, people are starting to sort of like look up to us and be nervous about us. And like, Kevin, we got an email from somebody who was just sort of falling all over themselves, apologizing for having opinions. And we're like, why? We want to hear from you. We didn't think any of that was boring. We thought that was totally interesting.
Well, it's one of those things when you get in, when we got into what limited limelight we have, which, it exists. I mean, we don't like to talk about it because it's completely new and strange to us that people actually like us. But yeah, it's just one of those things like who are we that we
what the hell
intimidate people so much? But you know what? I've found that, you know, see, as many geeks, and I'm just gonna go ahead and generalize in this case it's true. As many geeks and nerds and other socially awkward people, I was socially awkward all throughout school. And I will tell you the secret. I'm gonna let you know how I was able to get past that. So, friends, listeners, those of you who are having trouble with this concept, learn from me, and you don't have to go through this yourself. I've been rejected so many times that I realized it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to be rejected. You just go ahead and try again. If you want to talk to somebody, if you want to ask somebody out, if you want to do see if you could do something, what's the worst they can do? Say no, and then you feel bad for a little bit, and then move on. You learn that it doesn't matter.
It's really easy to say something like that, and I've given that same advice to people, and they're just like, it's not so easy. I can't just walk up to somebody because they're so intimidating or whatever. Mm. And I think, Scarlett, I was talking with you about this last night, especially when there's some people who are geeky, but they're really pretty, and then they're like somebody's dream girl, and they're like, you know, everybody assumes, well, she must be dating somebody, and then nobody goes up to her.
Exactly, exactly. I don't know. I just figure it's so hard because, I mean, you and Dana, you and I talked about this. We both have had self-esteem and self-confidence issues, and people would think, oh, no, come on, you know. They're on the internets. They're in the public spotlight to some degree, and there's no way they aren't super confident. But everybody, I think everybody who's ever been geeky or nerdy or whatever, it kind of has that because you feel in some respects as like a social outcast unless you kind of find your crew or your community. Mm-hmm. And like we were saying, it's really hard for geeky women especially to find a kind of community of like-minded people. So geeky guys, at least, a lot of times they can find like-minded fellas to hang out with, but you know, and a lot of times it's almost kind of segregated in a way. There's not a whole lot of places where women and men of that kind of mindset can hang out together, which is a shame. Because then at least a guy would know that he'd have more of a chance if the girl has common interests.
I think you hit the nail on the head there with community, because I think the biggest problem with geek people is that, well, in their formative years, say during high school, this isn't like blanket all geeks. I mean, I know people who had wonderful high school experience, but most of us, I think.
Well, then again, generalize for the sake of generalization, because we've lived through it and we know. So
yeah. I think most of us have had, you know, during our formative years, we tend to get sort of mocked for liking things that aren't quote unquote popular. And we were, you know, we grew up in a decade where geeks weren't in.
No.
You know, like they are now. I mean, it's a lot more widespread now and a lot more accepting of geeks, but most people in our age bracket, as high as that may be, we grew up in times where we were mocked, and so anytime we tried to sort of express ourselves, we were sort of beaten back down, and so we're kind of gun-shy with doing that nowadays. And the problem is that we never really put ourselves out there to try to find a community of like-minded people, and everybody else is doing the same thing. So there are a whole bunch of people out there. The problem is just we're so fucking lonely.
Yeah.
And we're too shy to go out and try to, like, connect with other people because we don't really have the social skills necessary because we weren't taught that. We weren't taught to be comfortable with, you know, it's just going back to not being comfortable with expressing ourselves because it got sort of beaten into us that it's not cool to do that. So we had to try to, you know, hide ourselves or change ourselves to fit in.
Yeah. You know what this ties back to?
What?
This ties back to our episode with Lewis. We had episode 17 where we discussed what it is to be a geek. What measure is a geek?
Yeah, well, that guy had a perfect childhood.
Yeah, but the point is, we got to this really awesome conversation, and we kind of went through the definition of what is a geek, which a geek basically is somebody who likes something to the effect that they want to share it with the whole world.
But the problem is that sometimes you get too afraid to put yourself out there and share that because you're afraid of what other people are going to say.
And that's where it comes down to, yeah.
That sticks with you for a long time. I'm 30 years old, I'm still feeling high school.
And that's what,
and that's what it comes down to. Yeah, I had a horrible time in high school. And again, maybe I'm learning this earlier than most other people, but it gets to a point where it's like, okay, so what? They don't like you. Who cares what they think? You do what you want to do. And damn the torpedoes.
But that is so hard to really feel, isn't it? I mean, it wasn't until just a few years ago that I really started. I mean, just being on this podcast really helped me to sort of accept and own my geekiness and to not be afraid of sharing it, because through the show, I've met so many people. They've written and they said, oh my God, I felt so alone, or oh my God, you know, you said exactly what I've always thought, you know, stuff like that. I mean, we get emails like that all the time, which is fantastic. If we get anything out of doing this show, if we can get people, I mean, we've got fans talking to each other now, and if we can create some sort of community where people can open up and be themselves, damn, I've accomplished something. Well, you and I have accomplished something.
Thank
sorry,
you.
Kevin. It was your
hey,
idea.
Hey, look, I exist.
Listen, I give you...
This reminds me of high school.
The show was your idea. I give you full credit all the time. I just sort of, you know, I'm me-centric. It makes it for the years I hated myself. But I still have massive insecurity issues. Like, I feel sometimes... I feel like I have this veneer of popularity, but I'm not really popular. Just because, like, I reach a large audience right now, it doesn't mean that I'm
300 strong.
It doesn't mean that I'm anybody different than who I always used to be. It just means that more people are exposed to me, you know, the poor things. And it's just, but
Chris Hansen wants to talk to you.
I'm not, shut up. I'm not better than anybody else. You know what I mean? Like, they're up here with us. You know what I mean? They're all like, all our fans and everything, they're on our level. They're up here with us. We're not like looking down on anybody. I mean, are you kidding? We're all like the same geeks. And I think really all you really have to do is just, and the internet makes it so much easier nowadays.
Oh, it does.
You've got to take a risk and try to push away the fear And go out and find like-minded people. Go to your local comic book store. Go online on Craigslist, look for friends or whatever. You know, get on Twitter and start retweeting people. You know, build yourself a following. And it's just like, I don't really know where I'm going with this. I'm sort of fluffing all over the place.
Well, what this really comes down to is, I mean, you said it yourself, though, what helped you get over the insecurities you had, or what
oh, but that's the thing. I'm not over the insecurities.
But what little you were able to, and what helped me get over that, now that I'm actually thinking about it, is the fact that I did find people that I could talk to, that I could hang out with, that actually understood me and who I really was and what I really liked to do. And that therein lies the conundrum.
I like how ironic it is that the advice that I'm giving out is get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah, but you've
Although
always
I met
been
you online, Kevin. So what the hell, right?
Yeah, but one of the first things we did was we went out of the house and hung out together.
You met your girlfriend on what? Warcraft?
I'm sorry?
You met Jillian on like what? Warcraft?
Gaia, actually, which is even geekier. But I bet my current roommate Tessa on Warcraft.
Yeah, so there you go. So you don't even need to leave the house. I mean, I suggest.
But you've always been, Dana. You've always been a do as I say, not as I do kind of person, anyway.
Well, I've got anxiety disorder, and it's hard for me to get out there. But I will once in a while. I mean, I went out to ECCC, and let me tell you, that was a godsend. That got rid of my anxiety disorder for like 2 straight weeks. Here's the thing: when geeks are around a whole group of geeks like that, the way I felt is that I could go to up to like any random person there, and we'd already be coming from common ground. We're already all there for the same thing. So you've really got to find what you're into and find a community of people who are into the same thing.
Exactly.
They're out there. And
find on LiveJournal. Find on Twitter.
If you're shy about dating, bam, right there, you've got people with common interests.
Exactly.
I've got a friend of mine who was like, I'm so shy, I can't talk to women. And I'm like, you've been talking to me for an hour and a half about common interests.
Yeah.
And last I checked, let me check again. Yep, girl.
Which actually brings me to an interesting point, and once again, I'm going to share my knowledge and my experiences for you, our listener, that, okay, that joke's probably not funny anymore because we actually have quite a few of them now, but yeah, that specifically relates to that. Couple episodes, actually more than a few episodes ago, back in March probably, I gave you guys all the saga of how I met Trekkie Girl.
Your current girlfriend, right?
My current girlfriend, yes. And yeah, thank you, Dana. Saying current means I'm going to swap her out pretty soon.
Aren't you?
Ouch. You know, somewhere there's a newer model, but you know, I've kind of gotten used to this one.
She's going to beat you to death when she hears this.
Oh, oh, she's listening right now.
All right, so
hi. What was I saying? Yes. But here's the thing. And after I met Trekkie Girl, and after we started dating, it came up in conversation. You know what changed your mind? Because as you all are aware, when I first met her and I first asked her out, she said no. And a week later, she came back to me and said, "You know what? Is that offer still valid?" And so I eventually asked her, you know, what changed her mind? And it was the fact, she told me, it was the fact that I had confidence, that I went up to her, yes, thank you, chutzpah, as she points out, but that I had the confidence to actually go up and talk to her and be myself and, you know, not care what she thought about me because I didn't... I mean, if she was going to like somebody who I wasn't, then why would she like me for who I am, right? And just the fact that I was able to do that and put myself out there and tell jokes that, and say bad puns that I knew that nobody was going to laugh at, but I didn't care because I like them myself. And that just
really
impressed her.
And that's why we're friends.
And that really impressed her. So, moral of the story, it's cliche, but it works. Be yourself. Be confident. Just don't be afraid of who you are, and people will like you. I mean,
absolutely.
Granted, you may strike out before you find somebody who will actually say yes, but that's part of the fun of trying. Is that you know you try one person, They say no. You try another person, they say no. You try a third person, and hey, you know what? You could say yes. It's 50-50 chance every single time.
I built this kingdom up from nothing. When I started here, all I was swamp. Well, the king said it was daft to build a castle on a swamp. But I built it all the same, just to show them. It sank into the swamp. So, I built a second one. That sank into the swamp. So I built a third one. That burned down, fell over, then sank into the swamp. But the fourth one stayed up. And that's what you're going to get, lad. The strongest castle in these isles.
Exactly.
So,
well, yeah. Dana, you made an interesting correlation earlier when you were talking about how different it was when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching an episode of Saved by the Bell the other day. And the geeks on that show, you know, like with the pocket protector and the tape and the glasses, that was what a geek was when we grew up. That was the person
Why
who did not
want to be. Why was anybody friends with Screech?
But I mean,
why wouldn't people be friends with Screech? He wasn't afraid to be who he was.
Exactly. He sometimes got the girl.
He got all the girls. I mean, didn't you see that 98 Degrees video? He got the girl at the end.
I saw this one video that I don't think I should be talking about.
Oh, with him in it?
Kevin, what's a dirty Sanchez? Hey, your parents still listen to the show?
It's like a Donkey Punch, but you add the margarita.
But anyway, yeah, Scarlett, you were saying that...
But yeah, I mean, that was what a geek was when we grew up. He's somebody you did not want to be, a total social reject and outcast. And nowadays, with the internet generation, I mean, being a geek is cool in a lot of ways. You know, look at Big Bang Theory, which I just recently got into.
Oh, Will Wheaton. Sorry.
Yes.
No,
he's only on it for like two episodes. It's a whole series.
Two is enough.
And I will fight you to the death.
Bring it, Abel.
I don't care how much of a crush I have on you. You're down.
I know where you live, Abel, all right?
Shut up.
But it's like, it's becoming more mainstream, you know? People are accepting nowadays more so than they were of people who have geeky, nerdy interests or whatever. And so, yeah, it's all about kind of having the confidence to put yourself out there. And I've had guys that I've helped with their online dating profiles, and it's amazing when you read how much they put themselves down in these profiles. You know, like, oh, all I do on the weekend is game. I don't have many friends. I don't go out a lot. And you're like, what the hell are you doing? You have to present yourself, whether, like Kevin, it's in person or it's online. Present yourself with all your best qualities on display. Otherwise, people won't think you're confident. They won't be interested in you.
There is an element of salesmanship there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, modesty is wonderful, but not when you're signing up for a dating site. On that note, there are plenty of really big dating sites right now that are basically, their whole premise is, hey, we're geek-friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep seeing ads for Zoosk and all those other things over there.
Yeah, when I was helping somebody out, they were asking for recommendations, and they wanted one that wasn't paid, because they can be kind of pricey, the ones that they have to pay membership for. But the one that I always recommend is OkCupid, because... it's really big with the college crowd, and it's, you know, because you take quizzes and stuff like that, it's kind of big with people.
Yeah,
who
I used to have an account there when I was like 19 or something like that.
Yeah, it's grown a lot. It's advertised all over college campuses, so I always recommend that, and people have had luck with it. So, you know, and you can't get rejected. I mean, yeah, you can. You can be rejected in online dating, but it's not like somebody's rejecting you to your face. So it's a lot easier to get over, I think.
And it's a lot easier to see that, hey, you know, if one person rejects you, look at how many other people there are right there. On that same page.
And I got to tell you, I mean, geek girls, we want guys to talk to us. You don't have to be afraid. I was talking to Clea Linda about this earlier, Kevin, and she DM'd me about 2 seconds before we started recording because she forgot to mention this to me. But she wanted to say something about this topic. She says, and I quote, "Geek boys need to man up because we can't do everything, people. I say this as a geek girl who has asked guys and has at times been rejected, so suck it up. Also, bathe. If you want a girl's mouth anywhere near it, scrub. I'm talking about ears." Yeah, I'm sure you are, Cleo. "Because I had to find out a guy didn't wash his ears the hard way. The scene where Dumbledore eats one of those jelly beans and says, 'Alas, earwax,' it hits me a little closer to home than it does most people." So thank you for sharing, Cleo.
Thank you, Cleo. That's exactly a point. Part of being confident is presenting yourself in a way. I mean, yeah, true, you may most of the time be sitting at home unshowered, unshaven, not having to do any of that because you're sitting at home playing video games. But you know what? You go out and you see people or you have somebody coming over, it's common courtesy. It's standard social behavior.
It's not about changing yourself. It's about being, and this sounds so cliche and so advice column-y when I'm saying it out loud. It sounded good in my head, but it's about being the best you that you are.
Mm-hmm. You know why it sounds like an advice column?
Because it is.
Because advice columns, guess what? They give good advice. Most
generally,
of the time.
Yeah.
Hence most the time, time, right? Her.
Usually Amy Dickinson, but...
You, Scarlett, especially, you present yourself as this most, like, fantastically awesome, geeky, super sexy woman all the time, and it's amazing, and you've got people, like, drooling all over yourself, all over you. Hi, they can't even make English.
And, Dana, you're projecting again.
Hey, but it's true. But you were saying, like, you've got self-esteem issues, and nobody's ever going to believe that, but, I mean, it's true. I try to come across as somewhat confident most of the time, but you do it a little bit better than I do. And what's your secret to sort of convincing yourself that you are, like, you know, hell yeah?
Well, you know, it was really hard in my teen years and in my early 20s. I think I told you, Dana, and you so appropriately called me an Amazon, which I thought was very funny. But yeah, I'm about 6 feet tall. And man, going through high school when you're taller than some of your teachers is really hard for a woman. And especially when all the boys aren't, you know, going through puberty till 18 or 19 years old. So,
right when
yeah.
I like them. I mean, hey, Mr. Hansen, what are you doing here? Well, yes, I will take my usual seat. Go ahead.
That was hard, and there was other things too. And you know, it's funny. In high school, at least when I was there, you kind of wanted to blend into the crowd. You didn't want to stand out. Uh-huh. And nowadays, it's kind of all about standing out, especially when you're getting into social networking, Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing. You kind of want to have. You know, something that makes you unique and personable and makes people want to know you.
It's almost like you're a brand.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Kevin was saying, you have to sell yourself. You kind of do. And I know, for example, Noah Spoonie has had, you know, trouble with that because, it's tough. You become more popular and then you've got people being bitter that you're more popular. But then you've got more people liking you, and then it's a hard balance to strike. So you kind of have to sell yourself but not get cocky about it. You have to, you know, just own your confidence and not allow it to become some kind of thing where you're a prick or thought of as being a bitch or a diva or whatever. So
especially the bigger and bigger you get, honestly, because the more people you have that watch you or follow you or read you, the more people are going to be... honestly, just inspecting you and watching for when you mess up, or watching to see if you're going to become a big head celebrity. What that is, honestly, is kind of a Red Queen scenario. Run as fast as you can, just to stay in the same place.
Exactly.
Yeah, but look at it this way. I mean, you can be the nicest person on the face of the earth. You're still gonna get douchebags. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Nobody is going. Any idiot can go through life without offending people. I don't remember.
Although we haven't for a while.
Yeah, where's our hate mail?
I
know where I read that. It was in a fantasy novel, actually. It was from the Belgariad by David Eddings, where Geryon just became king, and he was like, am I screwing up? Am I screwing up? There are people who aren't happy with my decisions. And his seneschal was just like, Geryon, anybody can go through life without... Any idiot can go through life without offending people. And I just thought that was such a great quote. I mean, if you don't piss off at least some people, it means you're not really passionate about certain subjects. You know what I mean?
You're doing your job right.
It's better to do that than to be a doormat or you know, dish rag or whatever. Don't be bland. Figure out what you really love and just sell it like crazy. Find out what are you good at? What makes you you?
Yeah,
this is not an easy path, people. It requires a lot of conscious thought, but 9 times out of 10, whatever is wrong with you personally, you can consciously change it. You have to make that choice. I got kicked in the ass when I was 24 by my friend Jen, who got sick of my fucking whining, and I was really mad. The people who know me now and who didn't know me back then, I know I'm kind of, you know, high strung and hysterical now, but you should have seen me when I was 24. This is before I ever went to therapy. it's a lot of conscious effort involved, and a lot of, like, don't be afraid when you're backsliding. You know, you've got some sort of support network somewhere. You might think you don't have any friends, but, you know, There's got to be at least one person out there who gives a shit whether you live or die. You know what I mean?
Your friend will yell at you. Good times and bad.
Yeah. The best friend will help you hide the bodies.
And there's so many people out there online that you can use as quote-unquote role models. I mean, you look at people that you admire on Twitter or on Facebook. How do they interact with people? You know, the one thing that drives me absolutely crazy about Facebook is people who are so emo in their status updates, or they just have bland status updates or bland Twitter posts. It's like, be engaging, be interesting, be exciting, be fun. You know,
tell
about
bad puns.
Aspect of your day. I love bad puns. I love them.
Okay, follow me on Twitter then, because that's pretty much all I do.
I so will.
Tessa?
Or at the very least, rip off good puns. Because I was with my D&D group last week. We had our ranger
bad puns all the time, Tessa.
We had our ranger twin strike a guy and actually hit and like killed him. And I go, so hey, would you call that an arrow victory? And I totally stole that from the Three Stooges. And that's like a 70-plus-year-old joke. God, that's like an 80-year-old joke.
I just made people laugh today, in the groan kind of way. When, you know, I've had a head cold all weekend, and it was really, really bad yesterday, and, you know, to the point where I was trying to sleep and I couldn't because I couldn't breathe. So I said on Twitter today, you know, head colds, it's not funny.
See, I love that.
And that's one of the oldest jokes ever. That's a dad joke, and I mean that in the most literal way, because it's my dad's joke, and he probably got it from his dad.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's those things. I don't care if people groan. I don't care if people roll their eyes and throw stuffed animals at me. Thank you very much, Tessa. Because you know what? I like those puns myself, and I think they make me interesting.
Oh, nobody would laugh at me if I wasn't laughing at myself. Let's be honest here.
It's true. You have to laugh at yourself, absolutely.
Yeah, if you don't laugh at yourself, you don't have the right to laugh at other people.
If you don't laugh at yourself, who's going to be your audience?
Yeah.
Exactly. The example I use lately is the Old Spice guy. I mean, how hysterical is that Twitter account? And, you know, it's just...
I love that guy.
It's unique and crazy and stupid and weird and funny and just, you know, have a hook. Have something about your personality. And everybody's got something that they can kind of amp up and, you know, make interesting. Because, you know, people like you said, people who are bland, nobody's going to take interest in you, or they're going to lose interest awfully fast.
Well, see, here's the other thing part of that. A lot of people, especially geeks, we have body image issues. Oh, God, do we ever. Especially women.
Oh, yes.
So what the hell. Now, I grew
guys have it too. Don't sell us short.
No. I'm just saying. But a lot of geeks do, you know, because we're traditionally fat and living in our parents' basement, right? Hey, I lived in somebody else's basement. But,
I
live in my dad's basement for a few years, didn't I? Shit.
You know, when I moved into my mom's basement, she gave me a Star Trek t-shirt. It was red. It was red. I'm not entirely certain what she was trying to say there.
Yeah, I grew up in between, like, two really hot sisters. Like, they both modeled. My mother modeled. Guess what? I look like my dad. So you know what I had to do? I had to be funny and smart. And,
there you go. I said, there you go. Because funny and smart is hot.
But you know what? But funny and smart and hot sort of go together with, and we're getting back to this, confidence. I don't care. You could be like the ugliest motherfucker on the planet, but if you walk around like you're hot shit, not conceited,
but just confident. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you
like knowing that you're pretty cool and you don't care who knows it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing.
Hate is gonna hate.
Yeah.
Haters will evacuate on the left hand side and what did that
in a lefterly direction. Or something. What was it?
I don't know. Cleo said something funny, and now I don't remember what it was.
Well, I talked about that on TSC. I had a friend who was not that tall, not that cute, didn't have a great job or anything like that, but he just oozed charisma. I mean, I constantly referred to him as charismatic because he just had this charisma that he could own anyone in the room. He could sleep with any woman in the room. And he had done like some courses and read some books on the art of pickup artists. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of explaining this, and all the guys on TSC were getting offended and, oh, you know, that's not being genuine and blah, blah, blah. And I said, but you're missing the point. He was, yeah, using little tricks and little, stories and stuff to kind of amp up his image, but it was the confidence part of it.
Mm-hmm. That's what he learned from it.
Yeah, that's the backbone of being, you know, a ladies man is confidence. And some people will think you're a prick, but if you're doing it right, people will just admire your confidence or be drawn to it.
Yeah, why do you think all these jerks get these hot girls? It's not because of their chiseled abs. Chiseled abs. Chiseled abs may look nice, but they don't keep you warm at night.
I was discussing this earlier with one of my friends who's sort of a self-proclaimed Lothario, and I'm not going to mention his name here because I don't want to embarrass him. But although I guess he couldn't be embarrassed, so what the hell. But you know who you are, and I know you
are. Oh, no. I have no problems getting the ladies. How dare you tell my secret?
Oh, shush. No, but we were talking about this earlier, and he's like, why do so many women let jerks just sort of take over their lives or whatever, or be like, you know, oh, well, he's not that bad. I mean, he said that basically what it is the fact that they've got any attention whatsoever, yes. it sort of gets addictive. Yes. And so you're not really all that picky. So you go for the jerk. You know what I mean? Plus, the way he goes about things... Now, he's a douchebag, okay? Do not be this guy. I'm not going to lie, and he'll be the first to tell you that he's a total douchebag, right? He basically charms women into sleeping with him. Like, you know, open the door and you know, buy flowers and, you know, may I call on you at your home and things like that. Like, I don't ever want to introduce him to Clea Linda, right? It's just these women are so starved for guys who are attentive and romantic. It
and
doesn't
actually
really
walk up to
matter.
Them and ask them out.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter what, you know, their motivations are. And in his case, it was basically just to sleep with them and never call them again. So you got to be careful about that. You know, don't be that guy. But if you can be that guy and be genuine about it, trust me, you are not going to have a problem.
Also, don't fall into the nice guy trap. And everyone here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Dana, even so, why don't you go ahead and link in the show notes the Mighty God King response to the nice guy letter? I know you've
if
got
I can
the link
find
somewhere.
It. I don't save all my links.
Cleo links to it every once in a while.
I'll look for it.
It's one of his top posts, so it'll be somewhere on the website. Anyway. The point is, don't be going around saying, oh, none of the girls like the nice guys because, you know, whenever I do something, you don't sleep with me.
Yeah,
well, so
don't
what?
Be the
you don't
nice
do that
guy
because
just
you want them
to get
sleep
something
with you.
Out of it. Yeah, don't go in expecting shit because that's douchebaggery.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not being a nice guy. That's being an asshole.
Yeah. Well, that guy that I knew, he had a 3-day rule. If a girl didn't put out after 3 days, he was done with her. And that's... You know, it's horrible to have these ulterior motives, and a lot of women can see through that, and they're gonna lose interest in you awful quick. And the ones that don't, they don't have a lot of self-respect.
Exactly, so. Those are the ones that I mean. I really want to address. Look, just because a guy's nice to you sometimes, but generally is a douchebag, get rid of him. I mean, I know it might feel like, well, he's the only one who ever pays attention to me, and well, if I dump him, then I'm going to be single, and I'm not gonna have another boyfriend. Fuck that.
No. And you know what I say to that? Street works two ways, sister. You can go right out and ask people out yourself.
Yeah, like, you know, just...
It's 2010, all right? You don't have... times are changing. Half my friends that are married, the women propose to the men.
Oh, I proposed to Carl.
See?
Wow.
I'm not saying, you know, men get lazy because the girls are going to start to do it, but I'm saying women step... If you feel... If you're sitting around waiting for the phone to ring or sitting around waiting for Mr. Wright to show up, he's not going to show up. Yeah. Go out, find somebody yourself. And there are plenty of great guys that would be absolutely thrilled if you go out and ask them. And once again, if you're feeling like, hey, you know, what if he rejects me? What if he doesn't want to talk to me? welcome to being a guy for, like, freaking ever.
Yeah.
We've had to deal with it for forever. It's not that hard, okay?
Yeah. And as far as finding people, you really got to go to places where you are automatically guaranteed to have common interests in people. Mm-hmm. If you're into, you know, like, comic books, go to the comic book store. If you're into D&D, go to the comic book store. They usually have dice.
Most gaming stores have tables in the back where they'll run events, or if there will be conventions.
Go on the internet.
Yeah.
If you're in college or in high school, there are clubs, there are organizations all over the place. Check the bulletin boards, check everything.
It's so much more geek-friendly now than it was back in the day. You kids have it easy, god damn
it. I've had a little bit of a tough time because I'm not into tabletop gaming or comics and stuff like that, but even then, I mean, there's, I believe it's meetin.com or meetup.org, where you can find essentially social clubs, social networks in your community of people who have like-minded interests. And there's basically any topic you can think of, whether it's movies, gaming, I mean, you know, sci-fi, anything you can think of, there's a community of people. And like you said, Craigslist. And
check the today, bulletin boards on your town's local community center. There's plenty in every single city, every single village. There's lots of places.
Easy to meet people these days versus before the internet. You know, it's just incredible. And there's no stigma about online dating, joining forums, having a Facebook account. I know some people who are really against social networking, and there's no stigma. Just do it. Get yourself out there. It's much better than being at home and being alone, you know.
Well, there's stigma against Facebook because Facebook is, you know, a den of whores and vipers, but that's just because Facebook is horrible.
Kevin, have you been to Scarlett's Facebook?
No, because Facebook is horrible.
How's your foot taste?
Footy.
I don't like them because of their security.
I'm not turning back what I said. Facebook is horrible.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely security issues, and you know, I kind of hate
that's
the fact
an
that there,
understatement.
Yeah, and I kind of hate the fact that there's a movie coming out about the guy who started Facebook, because I think it's way too soon, and it's just it's propaganda.
Not to mention that guy is a total douche.
The guy or the actor?
The guy, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. There's definitely issues with it, but I mean, in terms of meeting people, it does kind of provide a gateway to meeting friends of friends or people with common interests. Much better than MySpace, in my opinion. But
I got rid of mine, and I was never as happy as I, you know. I mean, that thing, it's kind of
MySpace.
A tumbleweed area, isn't it? Anyway, right now.
What's MySpace?
Yeah.
Most of the musicians are using it these days, I think. But
I hope it stays around long enough for the next generation to find.
What the fuck are you singing?
Molly Lewis, My Hope. Look it up.
I keep meaning to listen to Molly Lewis, and then I just...
Great song about MySpace. Anyway.
I hope we all gain worldliness and wisdom and maturity, but I hope most of all that MySpace falls into obscurity. I hope our profiles all go dead, entombed in distant servers, a monument to our youth, although lacking its observers. Your page will be an empty shell when no one is behind it. I hope your MySpace stays forever. And I hope that your kids find it. How I hope that you forget about your MySpace. I hope it slips completely from your mind. And I hope it stays up long enough for the next generation to find. And I hope that it embarrasses your children. Hope their bratty friends will forward it around. And I hope that you forget your password so you cannot take it down. Kids think you're vaguely square, it will be so much clearer when they laugh at the pictures you took in your bathroom mirror. They will not know your favorite band or any of the others. Who is this soldier boy you reference? Who's the Jonas Brothers? They'll marvel at how old you are, they'll raffle at your outfits. Your style may pass as vintage in the future, though I doubt it. I hope that you forget about your MySpace. I hope it slips completely from your mind. And I hope it stays up long enough for the next generation to find. And I hope that it embarrasses your children. Hope their bratty friends will forward it around. And I hope that you forget your password so you cannot take it down.
Well, sort of segueing from confidence into other areas, what do you do about, like I said, Scarlett, you had this wonderful blog post that I'm going to link about motivation and letting things sort of percolate in your mind, and you likened it to planting seeds and giving it time to let it grow in your head before you start, like, you know, getting up and doing things.
Yeah.
And I thought you might want to sort of expand on that a little bit and talk about, like, because confidence is a big part of motivation and getting out and doing projects. Like, people are like, oh, Dana and Kevin, you guys have a podcast. You're better than no, get off your ass and do something cool yourself.
Exactly. Plus, it's free. Ask me and I'll give you, you know, how to set it up in 5 minutes. In fact, I'll link you to the website that I looked up myself.
Yeah, ask Kevin. Don't ask me. I'm helpless with technology.
Well, again, I'm a big ideas girl. I'll wake up with, you know, 3 websites I want to launch and a new project I want to work on. And you know, sometimes, yeah, if you jump on every idea you have, you're probably going to have more failures than successes, and you're going to get kind of downtrodden about it. But I think
that's also how you learn.
It is. But I mean, if you have an idea and you kind of let it percolate, like Dana said, and it becomes something that kind of possesses you, or you become really inspired or interested in pursuing it, then I say go for it. Because what did I hear once? There's only 10 unique ideas in the world, and they've all been practically used up. And so if you come up with something and there's already a website that exists for it, or you know, somebody's already doing it and you think they're doing it better than you can do it, screw that. Just try it. I mean, look at the people on thatguywiththeglasses.com. There are loads of contributors, and they all kind of have their own niche and their own specialization. And if everybody thought, oh, well, there could only be one movie reviewer, one game reviewer, it would be a much less enriching experience to go there and check out the videos. So, you know, just have your own flavor, have your own niche, have your own style, but don't be intimidated by things that already exist, or if you think you can't do it or do it great or be the best at it, because that make the internet an awfully boring place, you know?
Also,
and if you really need a niche, I haven't seen anybody on That Guy with the Glasses who does books.
That's a good point.
And there are many different genres of books.
But yeah.
Ooh, there's also
Adam's Scottish Fangirl could probably do something. She did the Sparkle Project. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there. Kaylee.
Also, just a note, if you want to do something that's relatively similar to something that you see somebody else doing, usually they'll be nice about it if you ask them, you know, advice and how possibly they got started. And usually, if they're nice people, which most of them are, they will at the very least point you to some good resources and give you some quick information on how to get started yourself. Probably after promising not to, you know, steal their listeners.
Yeah,
Well, don't say, don't go and say, hey, how can I copy you?
Exactly.
But yeah, if you go and say, hey, if somebody comes up to me or to Dana, but she'll direct them to me, and says, hey, you know, I've got this great idea for a podcast. How did you guys get this set up? Do you have any advice for me? And I would just say, you know, here's
luck, blood, sweat, and tears.
here's the resources that I looked at. Here's a couple things that I found out the hard way, and here's some hints and tips on how to do it.
Yeah, and really, the only reason we're even slightly popular is just because we networked really well.
Yes.
90% of you guys, you came from Clea Linda. Okay.
Take a shot.
We did a poll and every, yeah, take a shot. or you came from Lewis, or you came from Kaylin, and now we're going to get a whole bunch from Scarlett if she, you know, promotes us really well.
Absolutely. I love you guys. So yeah, that's a thing. I mean, we have a thread on the TSC forums, people, you know, asking and giving advice about starting your own video reviews or website or whatever. And that's the one thing, is that you can be inspired by someone, but don't ape them, don't copy them. Have your own point of view, have your own niche, because people, you know, people can smell that a mile away. If they think that you're just kind of riding somebody's coattails, it's going to become pretty apparent that you're not very unique or original, and people will stop watching you. So have something. I mean, look at the contributors in That Guy. Look around your favorite YouTube people, your favorite websites, blogs. Just find something that you can bring to the table that's unique, and then pursue it. Because if it doesn't work out, at least you tried, and that's saying a lot.
And do not be afraid to network. Don't be afraid to contact people who are, you know, like I said, Kevin was a huge fan of Clea Linda. I didn't know who the fuck she was. I contacted Lewis, right before he got really huge, because I'm like, oh my God, comic books. I love comic books. Let's get this guy. Because I'm a huge comic book junkie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're like, okay, let's get this guy, and we'll talk about One More Day. That was a mistake.
You know, every single guest that we've had on the show thus far is, we got them by simply sending an email or making a post or sending some sort of note and saying, hey, we have a podcast. We heard you're interested in X. Would you like to join us? And yeah. We've had.
Yeah. And how many times have we been shot down by people?
Way more than the number of guests that we have. I'd say. Yeah. I'd say we've got a 1 in 10 ratio at the moment.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we like even we've been shot down because you know who are we? We've got like a listenership of 300 a day. That's nothing.
You mean we've got 300 listeners? That is way more than we've ever had before, Dana.
Spartans, prepare for glory.
It is like dating. It's just like
it
that.
Is.
Like
it's everything, the rejection thing.
Everything mm-hmm. is salesmanship. That is yeah. kind of harsh and cold, but it's absolutely true. Whether you're doing a project or you're trying to just get yourself out there socially, it's all about PR.
Exactly. And don't feel... I mean, I get a lot of people who CC me on emails to Spoonie because they think he's just not reading them or he's too busy to respond. And that's the thing. Especially if you're contacting somebody who's fairly popular or busy, don't feel bad if you don't get a response. Don't feel bad if you get kind of a curt response, you know, I'm not interested at this time. Just keep trying. Keep plugging away. Go for people who perhaps need a little bit more exposure.
Don't be a total nag. I mean, you know...
No, yeah. Don't keep pursuing it because at some point you're just going to piss them off.
Not the word is not aggressive. The word is assertive.
Yes, big
assertive
difference.
Is the word.
I like to say ask twice, and if you get ignored or no twice, move on.
Yeah, or you know, and try again in 6 months or a year. Just give mm-hmm. it some time, you know. But yeah, it's the same thing. You can't be afraid to try. If you're too afraid to try, don't bother. If you have the balls to try, then you're already better than 90% of the people out there. So yeah.
And in fact, you know, all the people that you think are too busy. I mean, I bet there are people who are really popular and really famous, and they'd love to do podcasts and guest star and stuff, and nobody asks them.
Apropos of nothing, Kevin's available for slots on any podcast, really. That's
Well, yeah, in fact, I was talking to a friend last night mentioning that I was going to be guesting on your podcast, and you guys, I'm sure you know who he is, and I'll tell you later, but he was very interested in you know, perhaps being a guest on your podcast. It was just that
Type
he
it.
Wasn't...
I gotta see.
Okay, well, but he was not aware of your podcast, and when I told him, he was like, yeah, I would love to, so you never know till you try.
Yeah, everything's just like I said, just networking, and even dating works like that, too. Friend of a friend of a friend. I mean, Kevin, that's how you met Trekkie Girl, friend of friend.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I mean, that's how communities, that's how friendship circles, that's how everything goes is word of mouth, and you go and you meet new people through other people, and through those people you meet new people there. I mean, how many listeners did we get from Cleolinda?
Wasn't it like 90% of them?
And every single one of them that's emailed in or done something awesome for the show has introduced us to more awesome things that we would not necessarily have known about. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to be a little shameless because I get some people being
all. That's
what
I have Dana for.
Thanks, Kevin.
I get some people being all, oh, you only get people to your website because you're dating Spoonie and you're linked on Spoonie's website and blah blah blah. And I'm like, look, you know, if you have a connection, if you have a friend who's got a popular website or who's willing to promote you in some way, why not take advantage of that? It's
politely
not,
exploit it.
Yeah, it's not, what do they call it, nepotism or just kind of riding somebody's coattails. It's just, you know, it's networking. Just don't take advantage of it. You know.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I obviously started reading about, you know, I was reading your blog because of your connection to Spoonie, but I found you very interesting, and it doesn't really hurt that you're totally hot. But I liked what you have to say, so I kept reading. It's one thing to attract a whole bunch of visitors, but the people who stick around are the ones who are going to end up liking you for you.
Again, similar thing with us and Clinda. We have every time she's on, we get a massive spike of downloads.
You need to send her a fruit basket or something.
Yeah, because people listen just to the episodes that she's on, but a significant portion of them,
they'll stick around.
They'll stick around and they'll become fans of us and things that we link them to. I mean, a lot of people go to the links that we provide on our show notes, and most of them will just go and look at it once, but there's a percentage of them that will stay.
Yeah.
Share and share alike.
Exactly. And if you truly don't have some kind of niche or something about yourself that you can present in a blog or a video or whatever, don't feel like, you know, everybody's got a video series, everybody's got a blog these days. It's not true. You can just be a fan, but you can network with other fans and get to know some awesome people that way. So don't feel like if you're not talented enough to write or whatever, it's just...
Sorry. I was at a wedding a couple of years ago, and there were people at my table. I didn't know who any of these people were. I'm the standard wedding date of one of my friends, but at the table that we were at was this woman that there were a couple people that kept coming over and was so amazed that she was there. Apparently, she was extremely famous. And do you know what she was extremely famous with those people for? She was the webmistress of the top Third Watch fan site. People who are fans, just like, you know, just like us, just for being fans, will get people to like them, get people who are interested in them, just for the sake of them being fans.
I just freaking love that our fans talk to each other on Twitter. I see it all the time. They're starting to make new friends, and I'm just like, oh, that's so cute. Yeah. Look what I did. It's like breeding rabbits.
Yeah, we did that.
It's like breeding rabbits, isn't it?
See, one day, too, if your fans are going to, you know, meet and fall in love, and then...
Just like, make out already. They know who they are. I don't want to curse them on the air.
But, yeah. You got to get yourself out there, sell yourself to some extent. But, you know, once you find that thing about you that... It's like, I love to watch documentaries. It's one of my favorite things. And I've seen Trekkies, that documentary. And I just saw another one the other day, which really wasn't that good, but it was about people who DM D&D games. Mm-hmm. And they had shots of the conventions and stuff, and it's like you said, you might laugh, like me, I'm not really into Star Trek, I'm not really into D&D, and to me, some of these people are a little bit over the top, but I have so much respect for people who go there, they dress up, they, you know, act like themselves, they can come out of their shell. It's so awesome to see people, in like-minded people in a community where they feel like they belong. They can just be themselves.
Yeah, it was really, I was really, like I said, my anxiety was just gone when I was at ACCC. Yeah. Well, except for when I was in line to see Will Wheaton, but that's just my thing. But just generally, walking around the grounds, every line that I was in, I was talking to somebody. Usually ended up giving them a made a fail button. There was me doing my PR. You know, that's kind of what I do. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm insecure as hell. I don't show it on the show. I don't usually show it on Twitter. I do sometimes, but it's all about just like, you know, if you really don't have real self-confidence, fake it until you believe it.
Absolutely.
And if you feel like you can't do that without getting like called out for it or whatever, I mean, I still feel sometimes like a fraud. Like I haven't changed, and yet people still find me, you know, popular and funny. And I'm like, why? I don't understand this. Like, I feel like there's this shell around me of like, you know, persona. But when you get right down to it, I'm still like that scared little girl who thinks that somebody's going to like judge or laugh at her.
Yeah,
they're all going to laugh at you, you know.
Yes. Thank you. Be sure to remember that when I have pig's blood dumped on my head. But yeah, it's just, you just got to at least pretend, make believe that you are the person that you, like your idealized self. And if you're afraid you're going to get called out for it, move. Go to a different city. Trust me. Big help. If you think you can't afford it, wait for it. Just trust me.
I love moving. It's great.
I've done a lot of that in the past few years. I'm really freaking sick of it. So I'm glad that I'm finally, you know, settling down somewhere.
Oh, yeah. But it's great to wipe your slate clean or go to a new college or new town or something like that. But yeah.
It is. It's very exciting. You know, that was my first time in Seattle, and I was really glad to meet all these new people, and it was just really fantastic. So really, I highly suggest conventions as a really good place to meet people.
Yeah.
That is like the ultimate place for geeks. Any sort of convention, anime, comic book, movie, whatever you're into, just go to wherever they have conventions for it. Trust me, you will thank me.
Oh yeah.
Kev, you got final... Oh, go ahead, and then we'll get into Kevin's final thoughts on it.
Oh, I was just going to say, the only other thing I would suggest is if you are able to kind of project yourself with that confidence and you kind of get into your groove, if somebody compliments you or, you know, kind of shows you some fandom or something, don't beat yourself down and be like, oh, shucks, you know, don't compliment me. I'm not that great.
Because I'm terrible with that.
I know, but it's so... repulsive is a really strong word, but it's just, it kind of puts people off when you kind of, you can't take a compliment or you just beat yourself down. That can be a really big ding to confidence. So that's the only other thing I would say is if you can cultivate some confidence, learn how to take a compliment and then give them too, because that'll just give you a huge doorway into
people's. My friend Brian's going to listen to this episode and he's going to point to this section. He's going to look at me and say, see, I told you, what have I been telling you? Take a compliment.
Exactly.
Fine. I will.
I'll just have to keep complimenting you until you learn how to date
them. You fluster me. I've got a reputation as a bit of a flirt myself, but Jesus Christ, you take
it. Scarlett, don't encourage her. Look what you've done. Now I'm going to have to deal with this. It's like taking a friend's kids for the weekend, sugaring them up, letting them play Nintendo, and dropping them back off. Thank you very much.
About emulating people that you admire. I really, and here's a compliment for you, I look up to you. I see, like, me times 10 in you.
Aww. Like, I adore you. Gosh. And Kevin, it's not like sugaring her up, it's more like I covered her in, like, whipped cream and chocolate sauce. And
Kevin, bunk now.
You're still doing it.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
I'm awash in a sea of estrogen.
Here, point that at Kevin and see how he feels. Flirt with Kevin.
So, Kevin. I don't think it works on him the way it works on you, though.
I'm Jewish. Nothing works on me.
I like girls more than he does. Hey-oh. Hey, Kev, final thoughts on confidence before we pop open the fail mail?
Basically, it's just what I've been saying is just be yourself, people. You know, haters gonna hate. But be yourself. Find the thing that you have. I've got, you know, plenty of stuff that people would say is quintessentially me. You know, I got 99 problems, but a kitch ain't one.
So, oh, Kevin!
You're just mad because he didn't think of it first.
Let's go into the fail mail.
All right, actually, before we get into that, before the show, as I've been doing in the last few episodes, I put out a Twitter poll on Made a Fail account.
Because everybody's heard that the bird is the word. A bird. The bird's a word. A bird. The bird is a word. A bird.
Those of you Twitter, it's made_of_fail. And the question that I asked was, when has your geekery been a blessing for you rather than a curse? Because as we know, you know, we've come across plenty of instances where it's been a bit detrimental to us because, you know, people don't understand. People will be intolerant. But there are plenty of times, more than anybody really talks about, that things happen to you, good things happen to you, just because you're a geek, because you're so huge into Star Trek, or because you're huge into fixing computers.
What did I say? I said I got recognized by both Will Wheaton and Sterling Gates, and I'm like, I'm still holy shitting about that.
Mm-hmm. You got recognized by Will Wheaton?
I totally did.
Go ahead and tell that story, because that's a made-a-fail story.
The really, really quick
story. Which is actually kind of a me story, but yeah.
When I first got into D&D because of Kevin, he DM'd me, and I got all hooked on it. It's episode 5, if anybody wants to go download it from our website, madeafail.net. I did something completely ridiculous, and I was fighting this dire rat, and I decided, out of the middle of nowhere, I'm gonna roll diplomacy and see if I can talk to it and be its friend. And it was so fucking ridiculous, and go Kevin for letting me get away with it. And I guess I rolled well, so why not? So I told that story on Will's old Propeller group, back when Propeller existed, and he thought that was so cool. And then at ECCC, I was like, hey, do you remember the dire rat girl? And he goes, that was you? That was badass! And he high-fived me, and I died on the spot.
Oh my god.
I know, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay.
Scarlett, you got any any tidbits you'd like to share? When has being a geek worked out well for you?
Well, just with my my involvement with TSC, it's been great because, you know, I came in there as someone who was familiar with web design, and that was really my first big task, was to revamp the look of the Spoon Experiment. And then I became involved in admitting the forum. But if I had been, like, what they call a poser, somebody who just kind of acted like they knew what they were talking about, it would have been pretty apparent. But, you know, I'm straight up. I'm not into Star Trek. I'm not into Star Wars. I'm not into a lot of, you know, quote-unquote geeky things. But I definitely have my geekiness. And there's so many flavors of being a nerd or being a geek. It's awesome. You don't just have to be into computers or just into D&D or just into Star Trek.
Episode 17.
Yeah, you can be a geek about anything. My mom is a huge baseball geek.
There you go. So it's such a wider community than it used to be. Like I said, back with the pocket protectors and the tape on the glasses, it's so much different these days. So, yeah, being a geek definitely helped me, you know, fit in with that community. And it's like we were talking about, if you can find a forum, a community, people on Twitter to follow, or like your fans are getting to know each other, it's so great because then you just feel like you fit in and you belong, but you can still be unique and not be a cow who has to follow the crowd and agree with what everybody says. So, or lamb or whatever that farm animal is, but sheep. Yeah, sheep. Lemming. There you go. But yeah, that's definitely getting to know people and making friends is definitely where the geekery came in handy. So.
All right. So what did our Twitter followers have to say, Kev?
Surprisingly, or actually probably not surprisingly, based on this conversation, almost every single one of them has given examples of how they met really awesome friends or just lots of really awesome people that they've known for a long time. Just because, you know, they have things to share and new things to experience with them. And that's really what this is all about, is that, let's say, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Now I got that Pointer Sister song stuck in my head.
Six of them. Six people have mentioned meeting friends or just various groups of people specifically because of that. There have been a couple of people who have been hit on because of their geek knowledge.
Nice.
Someone who got free movie ticket or free tickets to Ozfest. Because they're geeking out. People.
Oh, yeah, I got a free plane ride to ECCC, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, well, there you go.
I know, right?
That's awesome.
The big thing with everybody is mostly, you know, just the sense of community and the friendship that they've been able to accumulate just because of it. So it just ties back into everything, is ask around, talk to people. You'll make friends, and they'll like you for who you are, and you'll like them for who they are. Just
unless they're dicks, then get rid of them.
But be assertive. Actually, yes. Dana, that brings up an interesting point. I was going to mention this back in the dating section when we were talking about this, and then we got sidetracked. Because yeah, you've got there's a lot of people who will date people who are jerks, and they either don't know that they're jerks or turn out to be jerks. And here's the thing, and I actually have found this true for myself as well. Look at how they treat their friends.
Mm.
If you notice, if you're dating somebody,
or their parents,
mm. or just anybody, you know, anybody that they may get just a little bit frustrated with at various times, if they treat their friends like shit. What do you think is going to happen to you when the novelty of the relationship wears off?
I dated this guy one time who was making fun of people for being gay, and I was like, see ya.
Whoa, mm-hmm. That's a big red flag.
Yeah, asshole, bye. Good luck.
Or people who don't tip, or who mistreat,
my husband's
servers.
A waiter, okay? I am really into tipping the waiter.
Yeah.
So. It's just, if you see how people treat other people, and if they treat other people really well, or at least they're very patient and very tolerant, then chances are they're not really that much of a jerk. If they're absolute dicks to their friends or to just various people that they meet, yeah, you're on a short train to Crazy Town.
Yeah. Well, I'll go back to Facebook one more time. That's a really good way to find out what people's true colors are. It's kind of like the joke they say, you meet somebody and the first thing you do is go home and Google them. It's a good way to find out what they're really like when they don't know what you're watching. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds a little sketchy, but it's a good thing to do sometimes.
But that's why I don't have a Facebook. Cause it's
so you just find out what you really like.
It's so stalky.
Oh, I don't mind that part. I just don't have a Facebook because it's the den of sin.
I like to say that you know everything about me that you need to know within the first 30 minutes of talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's one, she doesn't let you get a word in edgewise.
Kev, no love. Okay, it's true, but still.
Maybe what she has to say is more important than what you have to say, Kevin.
Oh, nothing's more important than what I have to say.
Sick burn.
Just playing.
Hey, you know, I give just as good as I get. I don't feel bad.
It's not what I hear.
Oh, are we going to bring this up? I think we're...
why don't you go to the mail?
Let's go take a look at the fan mail.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
All right, we got a couple here. I've got one here from Juan. Juan says, "Hey, Kevin and Dana. First of all, thank you for giving me something to pass time with while at work. I've been working maintenance in a parking garage all summer, and the work gets pretty monotonous. Made of fails come in handy in helping those long hours sweeping and cleaning windowsills go by quickly. Random side note, because of the way my mind works, I now have a visual memory of different months on your podcast. When I'm sweeping the fifth floor, this is where I listen to Dana rolling for diplomacy on the dire rat. Wiping down the windowsills in one stairwell, this is where Casey expressed her disapproval of something in the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. So, it's not perfect. Also, and I love it that our fans are now starting to say this instead of me, take a shot. Yes, I'm one of those people. I'd listened to a couple episodes that featured Cleolinda through her journal, but when I listened to episode 32, Powdered Sparkle Pyre, I was floored. That, coupled with the need to have something to listen to besides the same music over and over again on my 8GB iPod, made me immediately download the episodes on the iTunes feed. I listened to only two every day I had at work, so I could make them last. I listened to episode 32 at least twice, because that was really the best game of Horrify the Twilight Noob ever. One of the things I've loved most about your podcast is that the fact that it's helped me realize how much of a geek I am, and own that shit as one does, and not be ashamed of it. That's something I wanted to touch upon. That's what being a geek really is all about. Is that you know something, you love something, and you own that shit.
That's right. Amen.
There was a point.
Women.
There was a point in junior high where I admitted half sarcastically to a group of friends that I was a geek. At the time, I neither really knew what that meant nor felt it to be a very positive thing. I knew that I was pretty much a geek, but I wasn't happy about it because of the way geeks are generally treated. Made of Fail has completely flipped whatever preconceptions I had about being a geek.
Aww.
Your discussion in episode 17 about what it means to be a geek really hit home for me, and correlated quite closely with something Melissa and Ellie of the Leaky Cauldron said when she came to my college to give a speech about turning your passion into your career. She said, and I'm paraphrasing here, "If anyone ever calls you a geek or a nerd, it just means that you're passionate about something."
Hmm.
I tend to be very passionate about things that other people don't get quite as passionate about. And it's a relief to know that there are other people who get the passionate about things, even if they're not necessarily the same things as me. Which brings me to an actual talking point. I'm passionate about a lot of things, and if there's one video game series I'm passionate about, it's the Silent Hill series, for understandable reasons my friends aren't quite as passionate about. I visited some forums online, but most of the topics I've read devolve into purists who hate the directions the Western developers have taken, and people who like what some of the Western developers have done.
Fanboys!
Knowing that you guys are lovers of both video games and horror, I'd love to hear your opinions on the games, or just survival horror games in general. I know Linkara is a big fan from his Atop the Fourth Wall reviews of the comics. I've only played a little bit of Silent Hill, but I've absolutely loved what I've played. It's more that I've watched other people play it, and it's just one of those really great things. I love survival horror games. In fact, I was playing, and I know this is kind of stretching the term of survival horror a bit, I've been replaying the Metroid Prime series, and while not necessarily a survival horror game, there are definitely some definitely terrifying moments in it. And I was just replaying it the other day, and Tessa was saying, you know, you keep cursing at the games and saying, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. Why are you still playing it? And I said, well, because it's just awesome.
You're the abuser in the relationship, Kevin. Admit it.
Thank you.
As far as me and Silent Hill, I tried playing the first one for PlayStation 1. The controls were so screwy, I just couldn't get into it. And what I've read of the storyline is a little confusing, and this is from somebody who plays a lot of Square Enix games. It's not really my thing, survival horror. I didn't really like Resident Evil either, so, you know, to each their own.
Mm-hmm. One also provides a few links to this really hilarious comic synopsis of the first game. And it
that
summarizes...
I did read. Yeah. That I did read, and that was hysterical.
It summarizes the feel of the game and exactly what everybody points out about it all at the same time, and tries to give an explanation of what the storyline is.
It didn't help.
It was one of those, because that game is one of those. It's kind of David Lynchian.
It's up there. Except with Kingdom Hearts as far as what the fuckery.
Yeah, I was like, what is this about,
Cheryl? About Cheryl? Sorry.
Have you seen my daughter? Have you seen my daughter? Has anybody seen my daughter?
About this high, long black hair.
Thank you again for all the hilarious moments and in-depth discussion, both on the stuff I love and stuff that I didn't know too much about, but now I'll look into because of the podcast. Keep up the great work.
See, you thought we were just making shit up. They do like us. They really like us.
Aww.
Thank you, Sally.
All right, we have one here from Sarah, entitled Fan Mail from an Infamous Fangirl, and Scarlett, you're going to know who this is.
Oh, goodness.
Dear Maid of Fail denizens, I'm gonna shorten this email a lot because it's a little bit long. I finally worked up the nerve and found the time to write you some long overdue fan mail. Yes, it is I, Aunt Zelda, the proud founder of the That Guy with the Glasses fanfic fandom. You know what, yeah. I found Maid of Fail because Dana read one of my more infamous fanfics, the one that Bennett the Sage later read aloud in Masterpiece Fanfic Theater, oh the hilarity. And after spluttering that was the day the internet finally got the better of her, she eventually linked me to the podcast based on my interest in Lewis, Harry Potter, and Cleolitha. And it was one of the best days ever. First podcast I ever got into, first podcast I ever put on my iPod, first podcast to ever mention me and pass along one of my questions. Oh, the glory, that was episode 29. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Dana. You get the picture. You're also partly responsible for giving me the final nudge into finally buying Discworld books.
Hooray!
Yeah, you're responsible for that. For which I will be eternally grateful. I just read The Hogfather a couple days ago, and I was wondering if you guys have ever thought about a Christmas whatever episode. There's so many holiday specials to discuss, not to mention a segment about the best geeky gifts, geekiest holiday party, etc.
You know, we try to do that every year.
Yeah. I hate to bring something serious into what I'm sure has been another hilarious episode, but I just have to tell you all that your podcast got me through a rough couple of days. My Nana died this summer, and I just got back from her memorial service. I had some episodes on my iPod, and listening to them on the way there and back helped remind me that not everything is awful and unfair and depressing in the world. Episode 27 was especially helpful because it reminded me how excited I am to go to cons someday soon, and got my thoughts moving in positive, productive directions. Thanks so very, very much. God, that's... wow. Mm. On a lighter note, has anyone pimped the Dresden Files on the show yet? If so,
many
just
times,
ignore this
but
bit.
Continue.
If so, just ignore this bit. Okay, done. No, we've already done it. Okay, yeah, she basically just goes over the story structure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, which a few other people have asked me if I've read and how I like reading, and as I've said before, I'm it's definitely interesting. It took me a bit to get past the first book because the first book. Is not very well written, but the story was good enough for me to power through it, and then he definitely got better after that.
Okay.
The first-person narrative is always weird when I read it, no matter what book I'm reading, no matter how well done it is. So I always have trouble getting past the first person narrative, but it's working so far.
Yeah. She goes on to say, completely switching gears here, but I'm really interested in getting into the Green Lantern comics. I want to understand the references you guys throw out, but the DC logo is daunting to someone who's only ever read comics on the fringes, i.e. Why the Last Man, Fables, Runaways, or Buffy Season 8. Nothing with a big-name superhero on it, so I have no idea where to start. Help, please. I suggest anything Geoff Johns has ever written about Green Lantern. Green Lantern Rebirth tells the story of how Hal Jordan gets back into being, you know, the Green Lantern of our sector. And it also really refreshes you on sort of what's gone before, you know, why this is a big deal, that it's Hal Jordan, who Hal Jordan is, the significance of the colors of the rings, that sort of thing. And that will eventually bring you into, you know, the Sinestro Corps War. So get Green Lantern Rebirth. And then Volume 1 is called No Fear, and both are available on Amazon. And you can pretty much just find, you know, all the collected trades of Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern there. Very, very highly recommended. I was never into Green Lantern, but let me tell you, as soon as Geoff Johns started writing it, so epic. It's like this awesome, like, space cop, you know, saga. And it's just so cool. It has a lot of really interesting concepts about the powers of emotion and, you know, why that's important to humanity and that sort of thing, and, you know, how power can corrupt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not the most original stuff I've ever read, but it's presented so well you don't even notice. I should have been a PR agent. thanks. Hugs from, sincerely, Aunt Zelda. Yeah, she keeps bugging me to join the fandom because of my huge crush on the Angry Video Game Nerd. I'm not that interested in real person slash fic. I know I go there once in a while just to kind of peek, just to see what they're doing, and I get kind of scared. They do you a lot, Scarlet.
Yeah, I understand. The only one that I kind of checked out was Me and Iron Liz.
Oh, yeah, where she got the drawing for her Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great. I liked your outfit.
Some of those people in my windows when they drew that picture.
A lot of them. You'd be surprised how well written some of these things are. I'm not going to give out the URL because they kind of want to keep it hush-hush, so I'm going to respect that. But they've got some really well-written stuff there. I actually read this one about Spoonie and Benzai.
Oh, God.
It was set right after Spooning with Spoonie, part one. And it was very descriptive. And you know, I like those little Frenchmen.
People ask me if that stuff bugs me, like seeing the guy I'm dating and fan fictions and stuff like that. I think it's hilarious. I think it's so funny so sweet.
We've asked Kaylin and Lewis about this repeatedly, and they don't have a problem with it. I think it's weird. I don't know. I'm wondering why they haven't slashed me and Wesley Crusher yet, but, you know. Maybe for
weird,
Christmas. But... Maybe for Christmas.
It's a little out there, but people do it because... It's out of appreciation. It's not trying to creep on somebody or be weird. They're just, you know, it's just fun, harmless, good times, you know.
Oh, and it's not all slash fic. I mean, they've got some storylines going on there. They've got one with Lewis as a vampire hunter. I don't know who's writing that, but that's
awesome.
I haven't read them, but I've seen, like, the titles. Like, they have, like, these ongoing sagas. Mm-hmm. I tried to skim a couple of them, but it was just, you know, their own little universe, and I didn't really want to, you know... Sorry, I had other places to go on the internet. Sorry.
We need somebody to write a fan fiction about you and me, Dana. Not
Zelda?
That you're not already writing one.
Right now. For Christmas.
And someone needs to illustrate it, too.
Oh. Kevin, next email, please.
Oh, you remembered I'm still here.
Hi, Kevin.
All right, we've got one here from... Gwen, the leader of our fangirl army, Gwen says, "So, since I'm a geekling, I know that I have a semi-addictive personality. When I get into a game, book, project, idea, slash, whatever, it sometimes takes me a long time to come up for air. So I've specifically stayed away from online RPGs because, well, I like being married and having an income, and I can totally see myself falling into the game and not coming out until bad things have happened. But with your description of the new goblin area, I want to strap jetpacks on the chickens, damn it. How cool would that be? Well, if you like that, I'm going to tell you right now, for one of the seasonal events, there's the trolls taking back the Echo Isles because to get ready for the Cataclysm expansion. I was performing bombing runs on a giant bat and throwing frogs at smoke flares because the frogs are combination hypnotoads and...
all glory to the hypnotoad.
And surveillance frogs. So you just, you're going and you throw a frog and you go, whee!
Hey, Kev, you know who plays Warcraft? Scarlet.
This girl, right here.
Awesome. All right.
Extremely addictive.
Important question.
Oh, God, you're going to ask your Horde or Alliance.
Oh, here we go.
All right, where does your allegiance lie?
I'm playing Alliance.
Oh, break my heart, why don't you?
No tips for Alliance, Scum.
All right.
Here's the thing.
Look at your fucking username and tell me you play Horde.
Hey, you know, I play both sides. I'm a gamer that goes both ways. But,
well, I'm planning to do that too, but I got into World of Warcraft from the Guild. Because I'm obsessed with that web series. And, you know, same thing, you know, the whole, the fan mail about being concerned about getting into online RPGs because they get so addictive, it totally happens. It's completely true. Because I've been really massively obsessed for the last 2 months or so with World of Warcraft. But I did a lot of reading, and I was, you know, the guild, the whole Knights of Good thing, I was like, well, I've got to be Alliance because, you know, I kind of want to be good, quote-unquote, and see what it's all about. And I heard that it was... But
okay.
See, I heard
you've
it was
come,
easier. I heard it was easier to roll your first character on the Alliance side. So I did a lot of reading first. And...
All right, you've come over that preconception, right?
Well, yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna try all both, but for right now, I don't even have a max level character yet, so I'm still working on it.
Sorry, no spoilers for Cataclysm.
I'm not giving spoilers. I'm saying, you know, there's no such thing as this side is good and this side is bad. Horde's not evil. The Alliance isn't good.
But just it's so confusing, you know, for a new player, though.
When
you know?
It comes out, there are jetpacks on chickens.
Well, nice. For a new player, if it's a lot easier to play as the prettier races, the ones that are more human-like, humans, dwarves, gnomes.
Yeah.
If it's easier for you that way. I mean, yeah, that's fine. And like I said, I do play both sides. I basically spend like a year or so on one side, and I swap over, play a year or so on the other side, and swap over again. I've got a couple dedicated servers. One's my Horde server, one's my Alliance server. And I got into the game specifically because there were a bunch of friends of mine that were playing, and I rolled Horde because I wanted to play with them. And I've, you know, while I straddle both sides of the line, I'm always going to lean.
You know, that just means you're pissing down the middle.
Oh yeah, but I will always.
Well, some servers are into that.
But I will always lean slightly over towards the Horde side. Tess is exactly the same way. As we actually mentioned last episode, I'll always be leaning towards the Horde. She'll always be leaning towards the Alliance. But I mean, it's if you stick to one faction and never play anything else, you're missing half the game.
Oh, yeah. I want to get, you know, my Alliance character to max level and then switch over and try Horde. Because the thing is, I'm a solo gamer. Like, I play Oblivion and Fallout and Risen and Mass Effect and games like that. I don't understand the whole cooperative thing. So when people say the game starts at level 80 and then you get into raiding and stuff, I don't know if I'll ever want to raid. So I can see myself getting to level 80 and then switching over doing Horde. Just for the fun of leveling again.
Raiding's been getting a lot more casual, and you can do a lot more pickup groups for that. But it's always better doing stuff in guilds. The big benefit of being in a guild, I've found, even if you spend most of your time just leveling by yourself, just having people there to talk to while you're doing grinding, while you're fishing, while you're doing a lot of the boring things,
I'd
makes
love
it that
to talk
less...
to you while you're grinding.
Makes it a lot less boring. I mean, half the time I'm playing, I'm not doing a single thing with anybody else, but I've got guild chat going on, and we're talking about a whole bunch of different things. And I will confess, I mean, my favorite part of the games are doing instances, doing dungeons, because of the whole cooperative thing. It's one of the reasons I play a healer, is because I love playing a support class, is because it makes me feel important if, and this is not me being conceited, this is actually true. There have been plenty of dungeons that the only reason that we've succeeded is because I know my job well enough to cover for other people being assholes.
Yeah, that's a big... So, having a great healer can really make or break an instance, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to be a great healer is to do lots of really bad pugs, is because then you'll learn where all your oh shit buttons are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a secret swim thing, but you learn pretty fast.
See, I don't like instances. I don't like dungeons. I do almost everything by myself. And I was in a guild briefly, but it was kind of like being invited to a party where you don't know anybody and they don't have any interest in getting to know you. So I was like sitting in the corner, like, no, nobody likes me.
All right. Well. So. I'm not gonna go into it right now. But hit me up later if you are interested in going Horde side, because my guild on my server, we're extremely casual. There's a lot of people who do stuff by themselves, and all they do in the guild is just talk to people. So it's a good way to do it. It's a fairly social guild. So
I'll teach you up later.
So if you're interested, let me know.
Definitely.
All right, let me continue with the email, because...
What's that?
Let me continue with the email.
Stop learning, start reading.
So, says Gwen, if I do take the plunge and decide to risk it on playing the game, do you have any recommended resources for a total noob? So far, pretty much all I know is based on the guild, which I realize may not be the best source. But I could wear a squid on my head if it would help.
Our intelligence hat.
I did send you the email linking you to this, because I wanted to give you an answer right away, because I didn't know when we were going to be recording this episode, but I will go ahead and repeat it. One of my favorite websites is Warcraft Insider, and they have a whole section devoted to what they call rookies. They don't use the term noobs. It's a bit derogatory. So they have a whole rookie section that goes over, you know, the intricacies of playing various classes and what things mean and what the in-game language is, and, you know, all the different designations and descriptions and how things work. And they do so in a very relaxed, very understanding way. And I'll go ahead and link that in the show notes. And there are plenty of other sections on Warcraft Insider that goes more in detail, you know, with hardcore raiding, PvP, lots of class theory crafting, lots of awesome stuff. And they always link to a whole bunch of other websites that are devoted to similar things. There's lots of very class and spec related blogs that they partner with.
The WoW Insider that's on joystick.com? Because that's the one I read every day. Yeah,
that's
it's great.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that, I mean, they just changed their URL, but I'll give both the old one and the new one, because the old one still redirects and the new one is a bit weird, but it's the real one.
As somebody who's a very recent noob, I can say that website is a godsend. That and the WoW Wiki. Between those two sites, I learned
those
a lot.
Those two,
so.
Huge. There's lots of macros I wouldn't have known existed if I hadn't gone browsing WoW Wiki.
Definitely.
So yeah, definitely check that out, and they will always point you to other resources for whenever you have more in-detailed questions. So,
okay.
All right.
We had a message that was specifically for me that I want to get into first, and then we've got one more short email. But the one that was for me was from our listener, Chelly, who did the awesomest freaking thing. She went to Anime Vegas this last month, and she got to meet Jason David Frank, Tommy from the Power Rangers, and she got me his autograph, and she got him to say hi to Made of Fail on camera. And it was the coolest thing ever. And I love
That's
my
awesome.
Fans, and they're the bestest people in the whole wide world. I really shouldn't be this easily bought, but whatever. I don't really care.
That really impressed Trekkie Girl, too. She was like, oh my god, full on.
I know.
Yeah. So. Tommy was the cutest by far, too.
Oh my god, he's
Tommy so cute. Is canonically the greatest ranger that ever lived. They mention it.
since he said hi to everyone at Made a Fail, and I suppose that includes the fans too, I just wanted to, I got it on MP3 and I'm going to play it real quick.
Hello everybody, Jason, David, Frank, Tommy from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I just signed this to Dana, and I wanted to say hello to Made a Fail. Peace.
So yes, that was really cool. So thank you again, Chelly. You totally made my whole week. And probably, since it's been a few weeks, pretty much my whole month. I don't have a lot of things that make my month, so, but whatever, it was awesome, and I'm still squeeing about it like a total girl. Anyway, our last email for today is from our listener, Ian, and he says, hi, Kevin and Dana, and anyone else who may be around, so hi, Scarlett. I wanted to let you know about a new band I've discovered who you may enjoy. They're called Kirby Crackle, and they're a geek rock duo who write songs about gaming, comics, and geek culture in general. Their songs are brilliant and very witty. You can listen to almost all of them for free on their website at KirbyCracklemusic.com, which we will link. Their two albums, Kirby Crackle and E for Everyone, are only $12 US apiece, including postage, and in my opinion, this is really worthwhile. So much for that fiscal responsibility. My personal favorites are Going Home, about feeling so much more comfortable at cons, see, and Up, Up, Down, Down, the video for which is fantastic and can be viewed here, and we will link. Hope you enjoyed the music, and thanks for the countless hours spent doubled over from laughter. I really should stop listening to episodes at work, Ian. Thank you, Ian. We're going to link those in the show notes.
All right. I do believe that wraps up our fan mail, so is there anything else that anybody wanted to discuss before we close down for the evening?
Well, you know I'm going to have to call the cops on Scarlett.
Why?
Because she just stole my heart.
Ding.
This has been episode 34 of me.
Scarlett, thank you for coming on. You were a wonderful guest, and we'd love to have you again.
Oh, definitely. I enjoyed coming on.
Stop that!
And I love you too, Kevin.
Yeah, hi, Kevin. You're here too, right? Yes? We love you.
Seriously, though, if you ever want to come back, just let us know. You're more than welcome.
You guys are awesome. I had a great time.
Yeah, thanks. All right. This has been episode 34 of Made of Fail. Thank you all for listening. Have a good night.
The world's got you down, but that's okay. You feel like you just want to run away. Put on your pants, boy. Show them you're strong, boy. One league at a time.
Trust yourself.
You've got nothing else to
lose. Trust yourself. Yourself.
You gotta fly so high like a rocket in the sky.
Trust yourself.
Where's that attitude?
Trust yourself.
You know what you gotta do.
Trust yourself.
You're an astronaut and you're blowing up the moon. Nobody likes you, that's okay. Everyone thinks that you might be gay. Run to the hills, cover your face, and you just kill yourself.
Yourself.
What else you gonna
trust dream? Yourself?
You gotta fly to the
trust
moon.
Trust yourself.
You can do it, boy. Listen to me, damn it. You can do it.
Trust yourself.
I'm gonna comb them myself.
Trust yourself.
And I'll kick you in the ass if
trust
I have
yourself.
To.
Trust yourself.
You can do it. Trust your f***ing self, you little
trust yourself.
You're a little dirty son of a
trust
gun.
Trust yourself.
I'm gonna get you.
Trust yourself.
You're an astronaut and you're